welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're Lending Forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I am Hannah McManus, your host for today, and I'm joined with Scott Reese. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Hannah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you taking the time and for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've been on the podcast before. I went back and found it so I could listen to it so we don't ask repeat questions. But I do have a couple of new questions, and I want you to kind of give us your background because we do have a lot of new listeners since you were last on the podcast. So real quickly, how'd you get into this business? How did you end up at Atlantic Bay?
I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So I got in the industry in early 1995, was working for Norwest, became a branch manager in 1996. Fast forward a couple companies. I was competing against Atlantic Bay and couldn't get anybody to leave. So I wanted to find out who the head of recruiting was. I tracked down Justin Kaplan. Justin and I met for a casual lunch, no pressure. Was very impressed with Justin, seemed like a great guy. And then he asked me to come meet with Brian and Emily just in case anything in the future happened. Fast forward 2 years after that, some things were happening that made me say, maybe I want to go talk to these people, and here I am.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Justin is fantastic. Yeah. So you talked a lot about, you know, creating a great culture, and your passion is kind of that.
Yep.
Growth-minded, support, team effort, passion. Talk to me a little bit, because you've been here now for, a year and a half-ish.
Yeah.
So you've been with the company for a year. How has that passion kind of grown? Because you've grown a team. It's not small.
Yeah. No, I think it's just we're very competitive. You know, the majority of us on the sales side are, you know, AA, AAA type personalities. We're very competitive. We want to win, but we want to do it with the right people. And you're always going to, and this is for any leader that's out there in any sales industry, you're all going to make mistakes. You just got to be honest with it. Sometimes you're going to think you have the best hire out there and it just doesn't work out. It's no one's fault. If it's not the right fit, you move on. But what we've tried to do is really find like-minded people that we feel like will be the right people in this culture. And quite frankly, the industry's changed a tremendous amount since I've joined. I mean, it's incredibly challenging. And all the years I've been doing this, this is probably the hardest I've seen it. So, you know, people talk about, oh, it's really tough on the salespeople. The recruiters have a really tough time. These full-time recruiters out there, boy, this is the hardest they probably have ever seen it. And you've got high interest rates, you've got the cost of living is more expensive now than it was a year ago for almost pretty much every category out there. So it's just very tough. So what you want to find is you want to find people that are still all in, that they still have a passion for this industry, that they still can look at the vision in the future and say, when this storm clears, it's going to be extremely lucrative for me and I could really grow my business. Mm-hmm. If they have that, then we want to talk to them if they believe that. There's a lot of people that are bailing. We heard Rebecca Lorenz a couple of weeks ago, you were at the meeting, talking about up to 70% of originators are going to get out. So you really want to, from a recruiting standpoint, my recommendation would be for anyone that's recruiting right now is make sure that person's all in mentally and is totally committed to the industry that you're talking to them, whether it's mortgages, pharmaceutical sales, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest key component out there.
Yeah, I agree. And finding people that are all in right now is, I think, extremely difficult. I get the pleasure of working with you and your team pretty often. And, you know, we hear about how competitive and how crazy the industry is. But then you look at the DMV specifically, and the DMV is just, I mean, it's insane. I know a lot of people in the DMV, and we have team members in the DMV. So what are you doing to keep your team all in, keep your team passionate, mm-hmm. and really just focused on, you know, we got to ride this out. We got to have that warrior mentality that you talk about. Yeah. You know, how are you doing that?
I'd say it's three things. You got to be realistic. You got to, and I know Brian and Emily understand this. The DMV just has a different level of margin compression that most areas of the country aren't experiencing. They're all seeing some of it, but not to this extent. Mm-hmm. So you have to know that you have to be able to go out there and be tight with the margins. The number two thing is, which I think is really resonating with people, is we really care. We do truly care about our employees, and we show that. I try to show that on a daily basis by finding wins. So whether it's getting a quick response on a price exception or a rush request for a loan, those things are real important for people right now. There's a lot of cowards that are in leadership roles right now in this industry that are just sitting back, just silent, because either they don't care, or not only do they not care, but they don't have the answers. And we know we have a great culture. We know we have great leadership here. So I feel the most important thing is you have to show people through actions, not just words, that you care. And in some cases, you have to have them find wins. If I had a loan officer call me up today and say, Scott, I really need you. If you're free Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, can you go to this real estate agent with me? I'd rather go there, show the commitment to them, and help get that over the finish line for them. And then their confidence level is going to be increased so that it's going to be easy for them to go do it by themselves next time.
I love that. And I think finding wins, even small wins, is so important right now, because everybody is so, I don't want to say negative, but everybody is so negative and down and so focused on rates that they can't focus on anything else. And when in reality, there's actually a lot of really great wins out there. We're just not focused on them. So I do love that. And, you know, you touched on, you know, some cowards being in leadership positions, and you're vocal about that on social media. I was looking at your posts on LinkedIn. Walk me through your social media process. I love that you have no filter. I think it resonates with people, and you're finding a lot of success through just sharing stories on LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So yeah, the LinkedIn has always been an active part of my, I guess, recruiting or staying in touch with people, but it's really gone to a whole new level over the last couple of years. And I think it's happened for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Jersey in me, the kind Jersey in me, where I don't think I'm rude, but I'm brutally honest, comes out. But I think people who know me, and even a lot of people that don't know me, but know me through the posts on LinkedIn, have come to realize, like, this guy's for real. Like, he's saying what we want to say, mm-hmm. but we can't say it, because if I say it, there might be retribution. I could lose my job. I could get in trouble. And I work for a company, as you know, that supports me being open-minded and mm-hmm. honest with that. And I've seen some wonderful people in this industry, and I've seen some just total scumbags and narcissists, even sociopaths in this industry, that completely lack any level of empathy and take advantage of people. So if I can be the mortgage Robin Hood for them, and go out there and speak for them and help them, and get them to a different promised land. And the irony here too, Hannah, is a lot of these people that I've talked to and helped, I'll never work with, because they're either not in our market, or they want a different platform than we have. Maybe they want the P&L model that we don't have, but I'm willing to help anybody. And it, to me, it's fulfilling. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at steering the ship, but I'm where I am, and I've had the success I've had because of the wonderful people that have worked with me through my entire career. And this is my way of giving back.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, part of your role is, well, I guess a lot of your role is kind of in that recruiting seat, where you are talking to a lot of folks every day. So what are you kind of seeing out there? I mean, what are people jumping ship for? What are they scared of? What's kind of their mindset right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. It seems to switch, maybe not monthly, but quarterly. Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest thing that's missing right now is leadership. I think there are a lot of silent leaders out there. I also think there is a fear of the unknown. I know there are senior level executives at companies right now that hate where they are, don't believe in the leader they're working for, but they know, like, I can't go somewhere else because of the conditions of the industry and the economy right now. I can't go get a salary job in this position at another company right now. So I either stay here and deal with the stuff I'm dealing with on a daily basis until I find something better. And then I spoke to a industry veteran last week, and they said, look, I got a couple years left. At least I know I'm going to get screwed over and how more than likely how I'm going to get screwed over. But if I go somewhere else, I have to get to know that person first. So I think some of that's there. You know, the rate stuff, I don't worry about because, you know, we have the autonomy to make those decisions and find the wins for people. I think right now the biggest challenge for recruiting is confidence is at an all-time low. From what I've seen in my career in this industry, you're seeing $100 million producers struggling to close 5 to 7 loans a month when they're used to doing 20 or more loans a month. So I'm not saying it's all laziness. I think it's some people have gotten lazy. Some people have lost their confidence. But that all falls back. It all comes back to leadership. If the right leadership's in place and that leader on the front lines is with them, that can make a big difference. And I think that's where it all comes back to leadership. I really believe leadership's just so important right now in every aspect of our lives.
I 100% agree. And I think, you know, the way that recruit said it, or, you know, who you were talking to, is it's so true. I think all of us have now realized we kind of have to put on our battle suit because we're, you know, we're going into a world of unknown. We don't know when that world's going to end. And you talk so much about this, having this warrior mentality, and you talk about how you're going to, you know, you're going to be there with your team. You're going to fight with your team and you're going to get them through this battle. So I want you to kind of touch on that a little bit. Just the warrior mentality idea. We can't throw out any bad words, Scott. You have to keep that reined in. But talk to us a little bit. I mean, you talk on this warrior mentality all the time, and I know your team appreciates it, and I think they mimic it. So I want you to kind of share with the listeners, what is it? How do you talk about it? How do you put it into action?
Yeah, I think what you need, you know, people can use different words for it. I think, you know, in the past they would say, oh, well, you know, bad people aren't going to do well in this industry. Life will catch up to them. I still believe that some of that's there, but I do believe if you have a bad person who's in the industry and has some talent and is just willing to outwork you, that's part of the warrior mentality. So it's like, you got to get tougher. You got to get dig down deep. If you wake up one morning, you're just not feeling it, you know, go to YouTube and pull up a David Goggins or a Joe Rogan motivational video or something that's going to get you fired up. But that's really the mentality. And I try to use it in my personal life and have it flow into my professional life. You know my hobby. I don't play golf well, and I don't play that often, but 3 to 4 days, sometimes 5 days a week, I go to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And every once in a while, I'll kick some butt, but most of the time I'm getting my butt kicked. But I get up, even after a bad class, I go back the next day, and I can make up for it. And I think that's the warrior mentality right now is never, ever give up. It's all about activities. It's all about staying positive. It's all about staying in front of your past clients, being creative, finding a way to differentiate yourself amongst your peers. And once again, go look on social media. There's not a lot of original content on social media. It's more of mostly, you know, I might be connected to 25 people at 5 different companies. I'll see all their things come across my feed over a 1 to 2, 3 day period. But the ones that stand, and I'll just be like, I'll support it. I know them. I'll like it or put a comment in. But when I see someone that does something unique, hey, a picture, an original post, those things I think are resonating with people too. That's part of the warrior mentality. You got to go the extra mile. You can't do what's easy, and you need to recognize that this is an uncomfortable world in the mortgage industry, and it's probably going to be this way for another, I'd say at least 6, if up to 12 months. And then maybe the storm will clear. So if someone is not willing to be uncomfortable and embrace the uncomfortable, they might as well just give up right now and get out of the industry. Because if they think it's tough now in the middle of July, wait until November, wait until December, January, and February. It's going to be really tough. And if you don't have that warrior mentality, you're going to get rolled over by the people that do have it.
Yeah. And so when you're talking to your team or just the mortgage bankers that are listening today, you know, what's a, I feel like you gave a lot of advice, but if you could give one piece of advice going into, you know, the second half of the year, I mean, never, ever give up is a pretty solid piece of advice. But what would you say to these mortgage bankers, these loan officers, these real estate agents that they're just down? I mean, volume is down and they don't know what to do.
I think there's power in numbers. Team up with others. Like if your confidence is lacking a little bit, like you made a really good point. Real estate agents are getting crushed right now too. I think there's an opportunity out there. We all have tools at the different companies to see what kind of production there is for the loan officer and the real estate agent. It's just a numbers game. I know that if I was personally out there right now, I'm not originating now, but I'm about 4 years removed from originating. But if I were, I would be setting a realistic expectation and saying, I need to be meeting face-to-face with at least one new agent a week. And then with the expectation that minimally, hopefully one of those four can turn into a new person for me or a new referral partner for me every month. And then I just have to look at the production that they're doing to get back to where I need to be. If my production's 50% off just because of industry, the industry the way it is, I need to find, and I'm used to doing 10 loans a month, I'm 5 loans a month short. How do I find that? Mm-hmm. The best way to do it is to go out there and look. I'm going to give you 2 if that's okay. 2 for
give
the
price. Give me as many as you want.
I would do that for the real estate agents. But the one thing that in most of the country right now that has held up pretty well with the rest of the economic woes is equity and an increase in values in the property. You have consumer debt at an all-time high and savings shrinking on a weekly basis here in America. The one thing that a lot of those people have is equity in their property. So I think a bad word right now is assume. Do not assume that your client with a 3-4% rate or even 2-4% rate is okay, because they might be swimming in credit card debt that prior to the Fed raising rates was still high, 18-24%. It might be 24-30% now. Their car loan might be 10%. Mm-hmm. They might have private school tuition that's due in a couple months when the kids start school, and they don't know how they're going to pay it now. But you know what they have? They have equity in the property. So focus on cash out refis while you're going out and building the referral basis. And I think if you do that and you talk to enough people, you'll be okay. But start with the current database. Do not assume that just because you did a loan 2 years ago and someone's got a 2.5% rate that they don't have a need. They might be looking to buy an investment property right now or a second home at the beach. And if you're not the last person in front of them, the other warrior that decided to cold call him is going to get that deal and you're going to lose it.
I love that piece of advice. I think all the mortgage bankers and anyone who's in the industry is sitting on, you know, this huge database that they just forget that it's there, and staying on top of that database and always checking in and having conversations, just, you know, looking for reasons to be valuable that's such a good takeaway. Now, I'm going to pivot because I'm obviously very excited. I'm working with you on a project. You've recently grown into a new territory, and I want to touch on it for a little bit. We are officially in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is phenomenal. So talk to me about Pittsburgh. Why Pittsburgh? What are your hopes and dreams for Pittsburgh? Obviously, we have a rock star in Pittsburgh that we're building around, but talk to me about Pittsburgh.
Sure. No, we're super excited. You know, we added a couple states earlier this year with Pennsylvania and New Jersey as far as areas that we really want to grow in. And we said we want to take our time and find the right people. And, I got connected through LinkedIn with Jessica Blake. And Jessica is just, you know, an industry veteran, rock star, you know, originator. You know, she had stopped originating and went into an area manager role, just focusing on growth, and did very well. And the opportunity presented itself here where we connected, and, you know, the timing was right. So we're excited to build something in Pittsburgh. I think it's a tremendous market. Being a Baltimore guy, even though I'm a New York sports fan, you know, you got that rivalry here with the Baltimore based guys and the Ravens and then the Steelers up there. So I think, you know, you've got blue collar towns. I think there's a lot of opportunity. It's going to be similar to the, similar in some ways, different in others than the Baltimore market, but We have a great leader in Jessica up there who we're excited to support and help grow. And I know Jessica has been posting a lot on social media and meeting with people as well. What we really want to do is we want to use Pittsburgh as the hub and then spoke out from there. So, you know, we'd love to have, you know, within a 30-minute radius of Pittsburgh, you know, our base, but then expand from there to State College and York and Harrisburg and Altoona, you know, all the different places into West Virginia a little bit, eventually to the west into Ohio. And we feel like we found a great leader in Jessica to do that with. And if any of the listeners out there are in any of those areas and want to learn more about it, you know, have a confidential phone call with myself or Jessica. Like, there's no pressure. But the reality is once again, finding the right person that's completely committed to this industry for the long term, that fits the culture and wants a seat at the table. You know, I've given you some long-winded answers here, but I have to say this too. One of the biggest benefits you get at this company at any position is you have a seat at the table and you have a voice. Where a lot of companies will pull the chair away, they might tell you you're going to have a chair, and then on day one you show up and there's no chair. And then they try to cut your tongue out and not let you speak when you want to have an opinion on something. We're just the opposite. And I think that's what makes us special. And I think that's what's going to allow Jessica, you know, with the rest of the team support, including yourself, you're involved in it, myself, Bill, Heather, and the others, to help grow out Western PA and beyond. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have said it better. I agree with the seat at the table. I think we've all worked for companies that have yanked our chair out once or twice. But I am very excited for Pittsburgh. I'm very excited for Jessica. She's an awesome asset to the team. So I we're going to ask this question, Scott. We end every episode with this question, but looking into the rest of the year and even into 2024, how are you going to lend it forward?
I'm just going to keep it real. I'm going to ramp up the LinkedIn to a higher level. I've started taking requests from people behind the scenes that reach out and say, hey, look, I can't say this, but this is happening to people I know in the industry. Can you comment on this and do an opinion or a post on this? So I want to continue to be a huge advocate, obviously for my team that's here. That's my number one priority. But all the other people in the industry that just want to have an honest opinion and voice out there that's going to speak the truth when a lot of the other leaders or so-called leaders in the industry are too cowardly to speak up, you know, I want to continue to do that. But I also think keeping it real is being realistic and saying the only way the third quarter is going to be kind of like the second quarter. The fourth quarter is going to get really tough. The first quarter is probably going to start off tough and get easier. And then hopefully the storm will clear in the second quarter. You got to be tough. You got to have that warrior mentality. I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to keep living it. Lead by example. And I would challenge everyone that's listening right now. If you're fully committed to this industry, take it to a whole new level. Use that warrior mentality. If you need to get fired up and your leader's not willing to talk to you about it, reach out to me. I'll be happy to jump on a call for 30 minutes and get you fired up. You'll be ready to run through a brick wall by the end of the call.
I love it. I was ready to run through a brick wall after you talked at our last summit. So I'm sure. And if you also need motivation, I would highly recommend following Scott on LinkedIn. I think your posts are phenomenal. Do you write them or does ChatGPT write them?
So I give the topics to Sarah.
Okay.
And Sarah posts 2 days a week. I cover the more risque type stuff. but I pretty much come up with my own topics and the majority of the content. And then Sarah just, she's been a phenomenal resource for me as far as taking an idea and putting the correct verbiage in there. And asking me to approve it. But I wouldn't be where I am without Sarah. She's an absolute rock star. And another great resource that any manager that's out there that joins this team will have access to. She'll help you take your any form of your social media to the next level.
Sarah's awesome. No joke about that one. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Scott. We really do appreciate it. We are so excited that you're part of the team, that you've grown a phenomenal team, and we can't wait to see, you know, where the Northeastern market takes us in the next 2 to 5 to 10 years. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time and the opportunity to be on the show. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in lending forward. So go lend something forward today.